Hello, this is Sid Roth. I'm in beautiful Redding, California, but I'm not here for the beauty. I'm here because miracles are breaking out. Can the deaf hear? Can the lame walk? I have two people that say they got a miracle. Yes.
Life after death experiences and angelic communications are on the increase. Terminally ill patients whom doctors have given no hope are unexplainably cured. People are being mysteriously protected from natural disasters. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, examines this invisible world on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm speaking to Rainey Zinn. Rainey, when you were just, in the third grade, they did an operation on your ear. What'd they do?
Well, they went in and they tried to correct some hearing loss that I had. I couldn't hear out of my ear and stuff. They went in to try to correct it by removing two bones. And I'm not exactly sure the medical procedure and stuff of what they did, but I know there was two bones missing in my ear and that it was to correct hearing or so. And I went through it, and then afterward I got out and it corrected my hearing a partial percentage of it. And then I lived in I lived for about a couple years with that, and then it started just decreasing the hearing.
And so it was down to decreased about 90%, yeah. From what I understand.
Yeah,
so you're missing a couple of bones, mm-hmm. You can't hear too well in that ear. Did it bother you in any way or limit you in any way?
Yeah, we would have, my mom would talk or something, and I would just hear a totally different word that she would say, and it just would mess up everything. You know, I'd say, did you just say that word? And she'd just be like, no, I said this word. And it's similar, but it just threw me off. I'd have to listen really closely to people and what they were saying, or else I'd misunderstand them and stuff.
Now, you went to Bethel Church. Mm-hmm. Before you were prayed for, did you think that you would get your hearing back?
No, I just lived with it. Thought it was something you just got to live with.
Well, did the doctors say you might get it back?
No, I stopped going to the doctors after the surgery. Just didn't go anymore.
Rainey, tell me about that Sunday night when a miracle happened in your life.
Okay, it was a Sunday night, as you said, and it was after the service during ministry time, and I was standing around with my mom and my grandma and a couple other people and my sister, and we were just hanging out. It was after quite a few people had left, closing down kind of a service, and we grabbed Pastor Bill, or my mom did, and she came over and asked him if he'd be willing to pray for me about my ear. And so I thought that was okay and everything. It caught me off guard. I wasn't prepared for it or anything. I had no expectations of it or the outcome of it and stuff. And so he just began to pray, and everybody around me laid hands on me and started to pray. And then not very long after they started praying, first he asked me, has anything changed and stuff? And nothing had after about 2 minutes or so. And then he continued to pray with his finger in my ear, mm-hmm. And he touched my ear and just continued to pray. And then probably, I'm not sure how long, a couple minutes after he started doing that, it started heating up. And I have the scar was, it goes from here to here on my ear, and it just started getting really hot.
Where you had that original surgery where they took, mm-hmm. the two bones out of your eardrum.
Mm-hmm.
And really hot or just?
It was a noticeable heat. It wasn't I'm embarrassed, you heat up kind of a thing. It was noticeable.
Understand.
It was hot.
So what happened next?
I told him that it started getting hot and stuff, and so he continued to pray, and about a little while after that, there was a pop in my ear, and it was just like when your ears pop going up an elevation or something like that. That's how it felt. And but it was more of a pop that it was a little painful. I noticed it and it hurt, and then I told him and he said okay, and he continued to pray, and then he started talking to me, and it was just like I thought, you know, either he's talking louder or what, but he talked to me and stuff, and then he came near me and he just said, "Can you hear this?" And I said, "Yes, I can." And I just started crying, and it was awesome, because it was kind of just, you know, God was healing me through some other things and stuff, and through all that, he, you know, he took the time the little things matter to him. And so it was just...
Did you ever go to a doctor then to check this out?
Well, I didn't really go to a doctor to prove it, because I knew it was done and everything, but I had to go to a doctor appointment. It was my monthly checkup, and I went in, and he just does the regular checkup of, like, blood pressure and stuff, and he had one of those little scopes that he put in your mm-hmm. ear. And he looked in it, and he goes, "Well, you had a recent surgery." And I was like, "Well, yeah." And
But wait, no, you didn't have a recent surgery.
Well, I considered it a recent surgery by
you mean
God?
God operated
on you. Yeah, the Creator. But I told him, yeah, I had a recent surgery. And I asked him, "Well, what exactly do you see in there?" And he said, "Well, you have a brand new eardrum." And I almost started crying in the office. It was confirmation. And
did you tell him who what the surgeon was?
You know what? I didn't. I wish I had. It was like an opportunity.
He said you had a brand new eardrum?
Yeah, completely reconstructed. And one of his comments that was just made me laugh was that they did a pretty good job of it. It's like, yep, I believe they did. So.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of miracles at Bethel Church.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any doubt that God wants to heal everyone?
No doubt at all. I'm waiting for it. I heard people just come and drive up the hill and be healed.
And you were telling me you're in the Bible school
mm-hmm.
here, and they teach you, explain to me about always being aware of the presence of God.
They have times where we just sit on our chairs and like one of the teachers will get up and just start praying, and then she'll go, "Okay, guys, you know, we're gonna pray, and I just want you to, you know, let me know when you feel something." And like, we have one teacher up there that goes up there, and she'd pray, and she's like, "Okay, here it comes. You guys feel it?" And so the class is just like, "Wow, we really do feel it." And they're helping us to recognize the anointing and stuff when it's there and everything. Like, for example, they want us to take it out on the streets, and like when we're walking around in a grocery store.
Do you?
I personally haven't done
that
yet. Well, I'm still learning and learning how to get sensitive and stuff toward that, but I'm growing in that area. So
I say that you're growing. And I have a sense that when God heals hearing in the natural, he does something to us in the supernatural. And what I believe is that, I don't know if you're doing this now, that you're going to be hearing God's voice clearer than you ever have before.
I have been.
You have
been. I have been, to where it's blown me away, and it's awesome. I love obeying God, especially when I hear directly from him through things and stuff.
You know, we're going to interview next Bill Huff. You know him.
Yeah.
There's a man that was paralyzed from the waist down. The next segment, we're going to be talking about him. Were you here when he walked for the first time in the church?
I missed that night. But I remember seeing him. The first time I saw him was after his healing. I was driving down Market Street, I believe it was, and I saw him on the bike. And I was just like, wait a minute, he was in a wheelchair last I saw. And so it boggled my mind, and it was just like, God did that.
What is a paralyzed man doing riding a bicycle? Better than that, what is a paralyzed man that the doctors say you'll never walk again doing riding a bicycle? God is up to something. Do you know someone that needs a new eardrum? Do you know someone that might be paralyzed from the waist down? Do you know someone with cancer? Do you know someone with heart trouble? Do you know someone in pain from arthritis? Do you know someone with high blood pressure? Do you know someone that just needs peace? Well, you keep watching. It's supernatural. And you know what? You know what, Rainey? I believe the Spirit of God will go right in, right, and touch him and grab him next on
It's supernatural.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest, Bill Huff, did something any young person will do. He went swimming one day. But you got a lot more than you bargained for, Bill. Tell me about it.
I was going diving off of a riverbank, and everyone else was doing it, so I figured, well, I can do it. So I jumped off, and I didn't know how far I should have went out. And I didn't go out far enough. I hit the bottom, hit the sand, and I knew I broke my neck right then. I heard the snap.
Did someone have to pull you out, or?
I crawled out of there, and I told my friend I needed help.
Were you in pain?
I was in pain, but I was more in shock. And I told him that I needed help. And the last thing I remember was seeing my sandals in the bushes. And then that was it. I was in the ambulance and gone.
Now, Bill, many years before that, you were a poster boy for what organization?
For March of Dimes.
And why were you a poster boy?
I don't know how it went, but I was just a poster child for all the other people, all the other kids in the California area.
Now, how come they picked you?
I have no idea. I just...
And you were born with one finger on one hand and two fingers on the other.
Yes.
And okay, so the next thing you remember after you break your neck is you're in the hospital. Well, what was going on in the hospital, by the way?
I woke up out of a coma. I was in a coma for a month and a half.
That's a long time to be out of it.
Yeah. And when I woke up, I didn't know what happened. I didn't know where I was. I was like, I was totally lost, really lost.
And what did the doctor say had happened to you?
It was a speech therapist that told me that. She asked me, do you know what happened to you? And I said, well, she said that I broke my neck. And she says that you're here in UC Davis. That's all she told me. And so she never told me anything, what happened.
What had really happened?
Well, when I broke my neck,
I know, but why were you in the coma? Because of the broken neck?
The broken neck, the skull fracture, and the meningitis.
Oh, you really messed yourself up big time.
They said I shouldn't have made it.
All right, what did the doctor say would happen to you as a result of this?
They never said anything, never said nothing at all. I walked out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. I was fine until 3 months after that.
What happened?
I feel like someone was punching me in the back real hard, and maybe I was crying, and finally my left leg started going numb, and I didn't know what was going on the whole time.
When you say someone punching you in the back, you mean hard.
Really punching.
Had you ever felt pain like that before?
No.
And so how'd you end up?
My left leg started going numb, and then it went completely numb to where I couldn't hardly start walking at all. And then my right leg started going numb. And by November 20th of 95, I was ended up being in a wheelchair.
And how'd you feel? I mean, here you're born with not all of your fingers. And now you go a freak accident, and now you're confined to a wheelchair. Would you eventually get better, or what did the doctor say?
The doctor said I'd never walk again. That's all that I've had. Reports from Washington down Reading here, and they said I never walk again.
You must have been a very depressed person.
Yeah, it's kind of like how much more can you take from a guy?
Did you think about taking your life?
No, never got to that point.
The rest of your life you're going to be paralyzed. Now you're going to be dependent on other people. What did you have to live for?
I don't know. They never come into my mind about killing myself or anything like that. Never did. I just didn't want to. I just I was happy. I mean, I'd lived with my arms being like this for my whole life. So, I mean, another step down, well, I just step on it, that's all.
Okay, so you were, someone saw you in your wheelchair and had a little compassion and offered you a ride in Redding, California. Tell me about that.
Yeah, me and my friend were going to cash in cans to get some money. And we were going by her place, and she says, "Do you want a ride?" And I said, "Yeah, we'll take a ride." So she takes us to a recycling place to recycle the cans. And the whole time she's talking about God, and it was kind of interesting. But I was like, I was stuck in the middle. There's nowhere I can go.
You're a captive audience, yeah. Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get them next to me all the time on airplanes.
And that's all she talked about was about God, and it was kind of good. And we go back to our driveway, and she says, "Do you want to accept Christ in your life?" And so she brought me to the acknowledgement of Christ.
And then she told you to go to Bethel Church.
Yeah, she took me to Bethel Church.
And what did you think about that place?
It was huge. it was overwhelming. Really.
I mean, the miracles. What did you think about the healings?
Well, when I first came here, there was nothing like that I knew of going on.
That's right. You were one of the very first miracles. And as a matter of fact, I want you to hear about the first miracle that opened the floodgates of miracles. We'll be right back.
We'll return with Sid Roth and It's Supernatural right after this.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm speaking to Bill Huff. Bill Huff really should have been an angry individual. He was born, birth defects, one finger on one hand, two fingers on the other. Then he went swimming, freak accident, dives, breaks his neck in a hospital. Then he ends up being paralyzed from the waist down with no hope of ever recovering. And a lady gave him a ride, told him about how he could have a personal relationship with God, invited him to her church. And you were kind of overwhelmed, you told me, about it being kind of big. But then two teenage boys started praying for you. Was this at every service?
Yeah, every service I came in that door.
Why'd these two young boys pray for you?
They wanted me healed.
And what did you think? Did you think you would be healed?
Yeah, I did. And then
why would you? You didn't know anything about healing?
No, I know. I just think they'd pray for me, and I figured I'd just walk right out of the wheelchair instantly like that, but it never happened that way.
But did you like the attention of them praying for you every service?
Yeah.
I would think so. And so tell me about the time you were healed.
The time I was healed, I went to another church. It was like a Wednesday night. It was like a Bible study. And they were teaching on John 11:40. He kept on saying this verse, and it was really sticking to me. I really liked the verse. It was good. And it said, Jesus said to the lady, "Didn't I say if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" And I'm in an electric wheelchair, and I'm going home, and I'm going, "Lord, I really want to walk." And then I get home, and I put the wheelchair in the house, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, "Okay, Lord, how am I gonna go for this?" So I get up to the, kind of straggle myself up to the doorway and holding on. I said, "We're gonna do it, you gotta do it with me, so I can't do it myself." And I start walking, and every step I took, I just said, "Jesus, Jesus." And I walked around the whole block. And I come home, and I was fired up. I was just like totally on fire, but
I mean, you're walking. The doctor said you couldn't walk, and you're walking, fired up. That's kind of, you must have been the happiest man on two feet.
Yeah, I was. But I was real, I don't know, hot, holding it in. I held it in a lot. I
mean, So, who's the first person you told?
The first person I told was, well, the lady who brought me to Christ, I told her.
How did she react?
She just, wow. She came over and she was all happy. And she says, well, we got to go to church. So
what did you, tell me about when you told your pastor.
Well, Pastor Bill, I walked in the door and he's out.
Walked in the door. I caught that.
I walked in there and I'm standing there right next to Pastor Bill and he's greeting people. And I go there and he looks at me and shakes my hand. And he says, how you doing? He says, I'm doing real good. And all of a sudden he looks at me and he looks up and down and he goes, what? He was kind of like, wow. It just totally kind of blew him away. And he says, well, what happened? He says, I'm walking.
And then that evening you shared with the church. How'd the church react when they saw you walk up?
They're clapping, hollering. It was like a totally amazement to them. They've always been praying for me, for me to walk. Everyone's always been praying for that. And when I did it, they were just like a fulfillment of their prayers.
But let me ask you something. How do you think your church is going to react when the next thing happens to you that you've had a vision from God on? And tell me what I'm referring to.
Okay, there was a little girl. She was born with one valve in her heart. It's a friend of my, well, it was a niece of the lady who brought me to Christ. She said, well, let's go pray for her. So we went up there, and it was kind of, I don't know how it's, but we were praying for her, and you could see God's hand above her.
You had like a vision of God's hand above her.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a fleshy looking hand. It was just like a spiritual hand, just like hovering above her. And then all of a sudden, I just dropped into her. And I'm sitting there going, wow. And I told her about it, and she's just, well, good. Well, that girl, she was supposed to have heart surgery 3 weeks from then. And she never had heart surgery. And now she's two and a half years old.
Now you pray for a lot of people. There's a girl without a heart valve. You got that? A girl without a heart valve got a heart valve back. But what I was referring to wasn't her. I'm glad you told me about her. But I was referring to what's going to go on here. What is going to happen? Okay. You tell me what's going to happen here.
I'm going to get them. These are mine.
You're going to get a full hand?
Full hand, full arms, everything.
The other one too?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Is there anything impossible for God?
No.
Did you hear that? There is nothing impossible for God, and you count. You count. God had you watch us right now. This isn't an accident. This isn't a coincidence. This isn't a happenstance. This is God saying, I love you. And if you will repent of your sins and make me Lord, believe that Jesus died in your place, and read the Bible and start doing what it says, you'll find out there is a destiny for you beyond anything you ever asked or thought or imagined or dreamt. This is your moment. Do something about it. Don't let this moment pass you by, even when we go off the air. You make it right with God. Okay, Bill, now we're going to satisfy everyone that's watching us. I want to see you, because we just disconnected your microphone. Would you please stand up and just walk off this set, and every step you take, remember you said Jesus every step. Say it. Say his name. Jesus. 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 That's a miracle. Jesus. He's walking in the name of Jesus.